Blog Talk Radio.
Network, God's great love for us, with Lester and Vanessa Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how to practically apply the Word of God in our daily lives. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. Father, I thank you for your angels encamped about us, God. Father, I thank you for how awesome you are. I thank you for your love that you have for us. I thank you for the love that we have for you. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that you place within us so that we can do those things that you've called for us to do, so that we could do those things that would otherwise be impossible without the power of your Holy Spirit within us. Father, allow us to learn to love ourselves. Allow us to love our enemies. Allow us to love you. Allow us to love our neighbors. Allow us to love all who we come in contact with, so that we can share with them the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for your word that you've given us so that we have clear direction and a clear understanding of what you're doing, so that we can receive our reward now and in eternity. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, tonight I want to discuss, how do we practically apply the Word of God in our daily life? And this is an open discussion, so anybody who is involved with this call can feel free to chime in as the Spirit leads. And the reason we want to have this discussion tonight is because all of us in the course of our Christian life have had things where we can where we absolutely know God was leading us, God was directing us, God has trained us to become disciplined followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we can help share with other people the difference that it makes to have the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word in your life, then they can practice some of these things that we have been practicing and those things that we know work. So I want to hand this off to Pastor Vanessa and see what she has to say about how she practically applies the Word of God in her daily life and how she thinks others might benefit from that.
Amen.
Well, I think that the only way that we really can have a relationship that's fruitful and, like you said earlier, to love, whether it's ourselves, the Lord, others, we serve, how we serve one another, our love walk just in general, we need to have a working knowledge of the Word and not compartmentalize or live the word, or only have two lives, like you live in double lives. You live, you know, you have one life where you apply the word in your life, or you stand on biblical principles, and then you have another part of your life where you just do what you want to do according to culture or society. And we see that a lot, probably because a lot of people just don't have a working knowledge of the word. So I think this is a great topic. And I would really want to invite everybody's insight about how they live the word on a daily basis. And I think it starts with the KISS principle, keeping it simple. And we need to keep it simple. And if we start from there, I think for me, to practically do the word of the Lord starts with knowing and studying, I mean really studying, the book of Proverbs and Psalms, as it pertains the wisdom books, even Ecclesiastes, the wisdom books, because I want to walk in wisdom. I want to walk in understanding. I want to walk in revelation. I want to know God. So I think that we have to, for ourselves, begin to come up with what is keeping it simple for us individually. For me, it may be different. For you, Bishop Carver, or whoever is listening, keep it simple before the Lord. What do you need to study and apply in your life that you know on a daily basis you can do? And I want to walk in wisdom. And the word and the Proverbs keeps it really simple for me. If I read a chapter of a day, if I read a verse a day that I just meditate on and ask the Lord to expand it and show me what that looks like in my practical everyday life, then that's what I'm going to focus on. But I think it starts with your heart to do the word. You have to want to do the word. You really have to do it. And then you have to get to the motives of why you want to do it. To be right in everybody else's eyes, to be in a relationship with the Lord, to be able to serve effectually, to grow. What is your reasoning for studying the word so that you can apply it in your life? Tell me what you think about that.
Hallelujah.
Well, because I think that he's having some technical difficulties. I think because if you keep it simple and you just earnestly pray to the Lord to listen, he will tell you what to study. He will tell you this is how you apply. Let's think of a scripture, for instance. Let's see. I'm trying to think one. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Remember, if you think of those simple things that we learned when we were children, those scriptures that we learned, that's one of those good things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so how I would apply that in my life is I look to him for guidance in my life. I look for him. I'm teachable, right? I'm leadable. I'm meek so that I can be led, so that he can show me, you know, how to, and I shall not want. So that's one off the top of my head that I can think of that is like going to the scripture and the Lord just showing you how to practically walk that out in your life. Does anybody else want to join in?
Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody, I just want to.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'll tell you, you know, one of the ways that I practically apply the word in my everyday life is by overcoming fear. And when I say fear, I mean anxiety. Anxiety about overwhelming obligations. I am a person who wants to say yes before I say no. And so I have to practice saying no. Because it's my natural tendency to say yes. And what that means is I have to practice listening to the Holy Spirit and then ask God, is this something you want me to do with my limited time? Because I have more than enough to do. And if I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit, then I have to take time to ask God, is this what you want for me to do? And then I have to be willing to listen to God's answer and then obey. Because when God says no, then it's time for me to say no, even if I want to say yes. And that's very difficult for someone who wants to please people, for someone who wants to make people happy, for somebody who wants to make other people's lives better. To say no is not easy. But when you make that no, your response to what God says, when God says no, the answer is no. When God says yes, the answer is yes. And it doesn't matter about how I feel. I have peace because I know that I took the time to ask God. And that is one of the things that I think many of us can learn from, because a lot of our peace is caused by leaning to our own understanding. It's caused by not rejecting our own understanding like he tells us to do in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where he tells us to trust him in all of our ways and acknowledge him in all of our ways and to reject our own understanding. Not to lean to our own understanding is to reject your own understanding. And then it says he will direct your paths when you trust him. And so
we have to stand on that word and practice that. See, you don't have to practice sin. We are born into sin. When we're babies, it comes natural to us to lie as soon as we can speak.
Wow.
If you get caught doing something when you're a kid that you don't think you were supposed to be, you don't even know. You just hear the tone in your parents' voice when they ask you, did you do so-and-so? The automatic deny, 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 lie, lie, lie.
Hmm.
Nobody had to teach you how to do that.
Right.
But when it comes down to just listening to God and then doing what God gives you to do, as uncomfortable as it may be to tell your wife or to tell your kids or to tell your pastor no, when God says no, when you take the time to actually go to God and say, God, is this something you want me to put on my agenda or not? And then God says no, the answer is no. If God says yes, the answer is yes. But when you let that be God's answer, not what you think, and then asking God to bless your mess because you decided to do something without asking God first.
Well,
it's the difference between living like Saul, King Saul, and living like King David. King Saul would always do things on his own accord without asking God. And then afterwards say, well, God, I brought you something. Even though I was doing my own thing, I brought you something. I was thinking about you. It's like you're taking God on the side and giving God your crumbs instead of reporting for duty and just saying, God, what would you have for me to do? Before King David went into battle, he would ask God. He would inquire the Lord, have you given me the battle? Is this something for me to do? And he also, even when he was young, when King David went up against, he wasn't king then. He was a shepherd boy. And I believe he was anointed to be king. And he went and he slayed Goliath. And the thing was, before he slayed Goliath, though, he asked, what does the guy who slays the giant get? He didn't just go into battle for the sake of fighting. His brother said, hey, the one who slays the giant is going to have his whole family won't have to pay taxes, and he's going to get the king's daughter as his wife. And so he went in to battle and got glory for the Lord and prevailed. And see, if we want to prevail in what we do in life, we have to seek the guidance of the Lord. And if God is in it, then we're not worried about the outcome, because we know that God is not getting glory out of failing. If God gave you something to do, he has given it to you to do so that you can prevail and show his hand mighty. I'm going to hand this over to Pastor Vanessa.
Yes.
Pastor Vanessa?
When it comes to the Word of God and trying to make it practical in everything that you do, you can even have a topical Bible where it begins to give you the themes of each book. And depending on what you are reading about or what you're studying about, or just saying, Lord, I need help with this today, my burdens or understanding, or maybe your love walk or patience or whatever. But when I look in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, you can read from the Amplified Bible. You can read from whichever version of the Bible that suits you well at the time, depending on if you're studying it or you're just needing something to remember and meditate on all day long. He says, dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptation? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. He says, so let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problem. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character and full and complete. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you, for he is already ready to give bountifully supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and that. If you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. And I read that from the New Language, the New Living Bible. Like I said, you know, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord and how you study the Word and meditate on the Word, ask the Lord to show you, or he'll lead you to making it practical. That right there was full of nuggets. Verses 1 through 8 was full of nuggets about patience, about how we ask in faith, about how sometimes it shows our humanity and we waver and we're not sure. And it's just like what my husband ministered about not trusting God. He didn't realize that I had just wrote that verse on a piece of paper here is about trusting in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So we've talked about endurance. We've talked about patience. We talked about fear. Anybody else want to bring up a topic?
Yeah, I will. This is Apostle. Praise the Lord. I just, in applying God's word to my life, I keep it real simple. And I have to ask myself on a daily basis, who am I in a love relationship with? Because God says, if you love him, you will keep his commandments. Well, as you have just said, both the pastor and the bishop have said, to know God is to know his word. And since God is a relational God, and if we're trying to please God, then we need to be doing everything that we know to do that pleases him. You cannot be in a love relationship with God and live like the devil. You must apply that word. And for me, one of the most practical ways that I apply the word every day is, one, because of my position of service. When people call my house, I don't care what it's for, I'm going to do what I love to do most, is share a word. I don't care if it's the insurance people. I don't care who it is. I'm going to share a word because, you know, I feel like the more we share the word, the more it is grafted in the fleshy tables of our hearts. You see, the Lord always prepares the messenger before he prepares the message. So each day, first of all, I start with prayer. Then, as my sister said, I get in the Word. If it's nothing but a couple of verses, if it's nothing but a couple of chapters, whatever the Lord lays on my heart to read that day, and then I turn around, and wherever he has me to read that day, I try to share that with as many people as I can, because I want God to know that I am in a relationship with him and him alone. I'm not in a relationship with him on Sunday, and then I'm running around with the enemy on Monday through Wednesday, and then Sunday is coming. You know, we're getting close to Sunday again, so I better start thinking about, you know, repenting and getting holy again. That's not the way we work with God. So we have to be consistent. We have to be prayerful. As my brother and sister said, we have to be patient. We have to be prepared to wait on God's answer. A lot of us like to talk, but how many of us really want to listen to God? Because if we're going to, the Word of God is a living Word, and the Lord makes it alive and active in each and every last one of our lives. So we need to really, when we pray, we need to listen to God and make sure, like Bishop said, that we hear what God is telling us to do. in a situation. So I thank you for allowing me to comment. Back to you, Pastor and Bishop.
Amen. Apostle Cook, and I don't know if anybody else is there, but I'm going to share something real quick. Because it was 26 years ago, when I had a desire to spend more time with God, but I just didn't have more time. I had a business, I had six kids, I had just a ton of stuff to do, and I could barely find time to read the Word. And is embarrassing as this might seem, I had to ask myself, what is it that I do every day where I'm not going to be interrupted? And I realized that that time that I spend in the restroom in the morning is uninterrupted time. And I could kill two birds with one stone, just having a Bible there in the stall while it was just me and God and nobody else there, and no interruptions, and I could just focus. And that's what I did. And I was studying from the Amplified Bible at the time, and it just opened up to me. And I would just encourage people, silly as it might sound, if there's a time when you know you're alone, let's say you have to drive an hour and a half back and forth from work, on your phone, you could have audiobooks reading you the Bible while you're trapped in your car for 90 mm-hmm. minutes on your way to work, right? And
that's
you literally could hear the whole word of God over the course of a year just in your travels to and from work, right? But when you decide to make time for God that is uninterrupted, it doesn't matter if it's 15 minutes. It doesn't matter if it's 90 minutes. The matter is that you're taking that time for God. It's going to reinforce you, and it's going to prepare you with the word that's going to allow you to be ready to respond to life. And that's going to bless you.
Well, Bishop Carver, you do have other people sitting in your studio tonight. You have Minister Tina.
Yes.
You have
it's open forum.
You have Mother Givens. So I just want everyone to know that your mics are indeed muted. So all you have to do is state your name and start speaking when somebody else isn't. So God bless you.
It's Minister Tina. One thing that I can say, I just love what you guys share, but I love having a friend in Christ, especially an apostle. We talk every day to keep me on the right path of Christ when chaos is all around you. Being able to have a like-minded person that puts you to the scripture or prays with you and sets your mind right for the day. Setting our mind right, especially before we leave our house, is very important to keep our walk with God and Jesus, and making sure that we are staying with that. A lot of times we get distracted. Like Bishop just said, he has to go to the restroom sometimes to have, be uninterrupted. That's so true in so many of our lives. There's so much going on in our homes. It's loud and noisy. I just appreciate the time that I get with Apostle in the morning because I'm able to start my day with prayer and with wisdom from her to keep my mind right. So having somebody that's like-minded or that is a mentor for you really does help as well.
Amen.
Amen. I think that I like the example you gave, Minister Tina, because I think that a lot of times it shows that we need each other and how we're not supposed to be an island. You know, no man is an island, and iron does sharpen iron. And I'm sure if you were to take an assessment, you could see the times where you strengthened her as well. And because it's like there's a connection. And we live in a world where everybody is all over the place, even people in the body of Christ. We don't always agree. We have to intentionally agree. And to come together and do those types of things, like to pray with each other and to speak the word over each other and to each other. I used to have a couple of people like that in my life too, and I needed them at that time, and I thank God for them, but it just made me stronger to be strong for them and others in my life. So that is the word in 3D, I think, and that's another way that God does use it for us to on a daily basis. I mean, even on your job, you'd be surprised how Christians, you'll be helping them, and they'll start speaking the word to you. So I find that to be very, very powerful.
Amen, yes, for sure.
Amen.
And another thing that's very powerful is when you are in the midst of chaos, taking that time out to yourself, even if you have to go to the restroom, and just pray. Because sometimes that's all we can do. People just trying to knock us off our shelf and our walk, love walk, as you call it, with Christ, with whatever they're doing or saying or what have you, and just being able to talk to them in a way that is Christ-like by taking that moment and that time out. It's so important, because otherwise we end up just being at their level, and sometimes that doesn't help anybody.
Amen.
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 Would anybody also, and it can go around if everybody is, to talk about a subject that they know they need help in with the word to walk it out? The word, usually when it comes, gets challenged immediately. And I know for me, one of them is love your enemies. God started dealing with me specifically about that in the gospel. When Jesus was teaching them, and he said, this is a new, there was a paradigm that shifted from Old to New Testament and covenant as it pertains to how we treated our enemies. We're to love them. And he showed me how that was a strategy. It wasn't just something that we did. It was a strategy that was, you know, more than twofold. I mean, it was more than two dimensions. But in that, I realized there were times when I had to literally write it on the wall. I'm serious. I have like a big piece of paper, and I had a space in my house where I would pray and do all kinds of other things. And in this space, I would proclaim and declare things and write them on the wall. And there was a day where I was writing, love your enemies. I wrote the whole thing out. And the Lord said, now look at that. And begin to meditate on how important that is. And from that scripture, he began to expound and explain to me how this was a strategy. So it wasn't just one-dimensional. It was something that he wanted me to have in my heart.
I know that's right. Well, mine, but I have to, well, go ahead, Bishop.
No, go ahead.
No, mine is, I need God to help me when it comes to not being so annoyed with servant leaders that are misleading God's people. And people might say that's righteous anger, but you know what? I'm here to confess. That anger that I have, I think it's a little bit more than righteous anger. I mean, I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm offended. It goes all through me. You know, I'm not going to lie. And I have to just stop and say, stop. Pray for them, you know. And I want you to continue to pray for me in that area. I think that's why I deal with servant leaders so much. Because I want us of all people to have a heart after God's own. But I'm telling you, yes, I know there's such a thing as righteous anger. But I'm telling you that the anger I feel when I watch a false prophet or I hear a false prophet or, you know, I just watch the performance of some of these servant leaders, that anger is more than right. It's more than a righteous, it's real anger. So I have to remember, be angry and sin not, 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 you know.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's very similar to what I was going to share, because I was going to share how I was led by God. Well, one, I was in a congregation that had some interesting beliefs.
That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
They had some interesting beliefs. And so, but they were serious. They were serious about what they were doing. And God led me to simply sit in this class. It was a Sunday school class. And listen. And God said, look, I know this is uncomfortable for you because, as you said, you had some righteous anger. I have some righteous anger when I hear people say things that aren't in the Bible as if they're in the Bible. And so, to be someone who has an idea what's in there, when I hear stuff that's not in there, it affects me, right? But
yeah,
this is 20 years ago now, and I'm in this class
mm-hmm.
and with these older gentlemen, and God said, look, just when you hear them read the scripture and then say something.
Bishop?
The devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just lift up the whole airway to you right now. Ha! In the name of Jesus.
Thank
restore
Jesus.
Whatever is broken, Lord. We want you to restore it right now in
yes.
Jesus'
Thank
holy
you.
Name.
Yes.
There
he is. I have a phone now. So what happened was 20 years ago, I was in the Sunday school class, and in the Sunday school class, they were reading one thing and then saying another. And God showed me how all I had to do was say, that's very interesting, and restate the scripture. Just read exactly what was there. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it.
Right.
And just say, that's interesting. And before
mm-hmm.
you knew it, I was teaching that class.
There you
and,
go.
And in a place where, you know, there was no open acknowledgement of what was actually there because they were pushing
mm-hmm.
an idea. They were in, and what I realized was that so many of us have gotten trapped into defending
mm-hmm.
our leader's theological dissertation that we dismiss what the Word of God says because we have such great respect for the person who taught us. And my thing is, everybody had to have somebody who taught you. There is no one who is in the Word, who is in the body of Christ, that didn't have somebody who taught you.
But there comes a point
where you got to stand on what you studied. You got to stand on
what
the Word of God said to you, because the Word of God speaks plainly, and we shouldn't be afraid to study all the different translations, you know? Don't be
mm-hmm.
afraid of
sure,
King James and the New King James and the New Living Translation. And, you know, I would hesitate to spend too much time in the NIV, but that's just me, right? But the Message Bible, if you're new, you know, pick up a Bible. Pick up a Christian Bible and study it, because God will bless you. But what God showed me, though, recently, is that because I had some serious, as you said, you had anger issues. I had some issues when it comes down to people teaching things that just are not correct. And God said, you know what? We're all at different levels.
Right.
And we've all been taught by,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been taught differently. We've all spent different levels of time and intensity of study. And we got to give each other room to grow. And so
mm-hmm.
it is not loving to judge someone based on where they are, because you know what? If you speak the truth, if you read the Word openly, often enough, people will hear what it's saying and realize it's not just you talking. And that's why I try to be careful about having 60% what I say and 30% what the Bible says. Instead, make sure that, well, you know, if people would listen to that, that would work. But unfortunately, people want to hear you. They want to
hear
whether you believe. Well, one, they want to know, do you know what you – well, one, people don't care about how much you know till they know how much you care. So they want to know that you care about them first. Then they want to know that you know what you're talking about. And so if you don't know what you're talking about, it'll show, because your level of authority is going to diminish as it's challenged. As you meet open challenges, if you don't have answers, then you will shut up eventually.
Or
people just stop listening to you. But sometimes we get in this echo chamber of other people who agree with us because they, you know, they like what we're saying because the same person taught them that taught you. And at a point, it does get crazy because you begin to realize that you're in an echo chamber and it's not real.
And I think that's when it comes to God really testing your heart about, like we said earlier, and Apostle Kuzmet said too, about her relationship with the Lord is what guides her and is the motive. So if our motives are pure in practicing the word of God and walking it out, guess what? If it's not, it'll be checked through that word. More than likely,
there'll
be some level of conviction. There'll be some level of conviction, and that's why it's important to stay in the word, because even when we're wrong, our heart posture is off. Like you said, Bishop Cook, Apostle Cook, he will check it. It'll get checked by the word, and the level of integrity will be something that God can work with, you know?
Yes, yes. But we must first be honest about where we are.
That's right.
And that's what I like what you said about having a teachable I don't care how long you've been in ministry, we must always have a reachable spirit. So that, because I don't care how long I've been in ministry, if I've got something wrong, I want one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't care if they're in leadership or not, I want them to come tell me. You know, pull a sister, as they say, pull a sister's coattail, because none of us have arrived. And so I love I love the fact about the things that you always, the two of you especially, reiterate: prayer, humility, reachable, teachable spirit, as you study God's word. And I love what Bishop said. Don't get in that vacuum chamber of just mimicking what you heard the pastor say. Because like he said, we're only as good as the teacher that taught us. And we know that we can never overlook the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will put everybody in check. You know,
he
like Bishop said.
Amen.
He's
a paraclete.
Yes.
You know, he is the paraclete. He will check you, and he will shut it down. And see, that's what I heard Bishop say was, you know, he could have said, well, I'm a teacher. I know this word. I could have, you know, I could have stood up and very easily made my point. Every last one of them, showed them where they were wrong. But instead, he listened to God. He sat and listened humbly. And then he said, he just got up and restated God's word, knowing that because he already knew. You don't have to add anything to God's word. You don't have to sugarcoat it. You don't have to take anything away from it. You just have to stand on that word. And you have to be convicted yourself.
Yeah.
You know, people can tell when you're just phoning it in. They can tell. You know, you've sat in somebody's church a long time, and you've been in somebody's Sunday school a long time, and we know you have memorized a lot of scripture. But if there is no Holy Spirit, there's no conviction, there's no integrity, there's no honesty, and there's no love, you'll be just like Paul. You'll be as a clanging cymbal.
Yeah, noise.
You know, just wood, you know, and I don't want to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. I want my brothers and sisters to know you know, to know him, to be up close and personal to him. And I know that, you know, and I know we can't do that until we get real. And that's, I think mm-hmm. that's what's wrong with a lot of Christians. We
yeah.
are so performance driven that we
mm-hmm.
have forgotten how to be real, even before God.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you
we
know,
want to go up to, go ahead,
mm-hmm.
sis, go ahead, sis, go pastor.
No,
I'm sorry, go
this,
ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think that's when we are, the world's looking at people that are don't know the word or want to know. They looking at that and like, y'all don't live nothing y'all say. They know
mm-hmm.
enough of the scripture to know that about love, right? A lot of times they coming from that place and they when they don't see it, it's because we're not living it. But I have a
That's
question
right.
that I want to ask everybody. Everybody can elaborate and take their time in answering this question and unpacking it is how does the word, okay, I had the question and now I just lost it, left my mind.
Bring
Jesus.
It back, Jesus. Bring it back,
this was
Jesus.
A good,
bring it back.
This was a good, it was a good question because I think that it had to do with us applying the word in our lives every day. What level of, this is not, I'm trying to
Father
think
God.
Of it. I'm going to give it to Bishop Cook, I mean to Bishop Carver, because this is, was a good question, and now I can't remember it. So hold on.
He'll bring it back.
Well, you know what? It's time to get to this, to get to really, let's look at what it says here. Let's look at what it says in Ephesians, right? Just some practical things that we should know to do. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, one of the ways that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might is when people come against us with craziness. And we experience this on a regular basis in our day and time. And it could be craziness in your house. It could be craziness at your job. It could be craziness in your church, craziness in school, just crazy people, right? And what I learned to do is just like, I remember this one morning, I was going out to the mailbox and my neighbor was babysitting somebody's grate, got loose. And is stopped right in front of me, barking away. And I'm looking over at the neighbor and I'm saying, okay, you have so much time to come and get this dog before I pull this mailbox off of here and beat it to death. And so he came and he got his dog, but the way that you handle that dog is by standing still and not reacting and not being afraid of the dog. And having an idea of what you're going to do if that dog does something beyond make a whole bunch of noise, right? And when we're dealing with people, one of the things that I learned how to do practically and realized it actually works is when people are acting crazy and they're screaming in your face, jumping up and down and just making a scene, if you speak in tongues to yourself and hold your composure and you just let the power of the Holy Spirit just flow from within you, you will be under control. And that control puts fear in the heart of the people who are out of control and causes them to get control of themselves. And it's one of those things that I've seen and used many times before, and I can tell you that it works. So I just wanted to share that with you, because when you are in those situations, that's something you can do. You can speak in tongues to yourself and watch God work. But the main thing that you'll see happen is because you have control of you, it opens the door for God to intervene and get control over whoever that out of control individual is that you're encountering.
Okay, I think also this is not the question, but Bishop Carver speaking, this made me think about declarations and proclamations, right? When we declare the word and speak the word out, on a daily basis before we start our day, or maybe before we go to sleep at night. I think that that is a way that we intricately keep the word in our life. We speak the word over ourselves. We speak and declare the word over a situation, whether it's in prayer or we're just speaking or thinking about it. That is such a powerful thing that I started to do again. And I realized whatever was ringing in my ears when I woke up or what was ringing in my spirit when I go to bed is so important. And the Lord, it's a discipline, if you will. And at first I was just like, well, Lord, I know you're leading me to do this because I wasn't led to do it, so there's a reason for it, but it sets the stage, if you will, and it encapsulates you. It makes you feel safe. It helps you guard your heart. And so whatever he has me to declare, and it's really just me giving him glory, it's a level of worship and praise that can be, depending on how God leads you. But that is another way of making this, being surrounded by the word. He inhabits the praises of his people. And so but I also believe he inhabits our prayers. He's with us anyway. When we begin to declare and proclaim things over our lives, or maybe we're being led to do that over a situation or over a person, the word does not return back void. It works. It's being sent out there to do something. And whether we see the manifestation of that or not, it is being using a practical application in our lives. And so when we're bold in it, it's just like what Apostle Cook said, whoever calls her house or whoever she interacts with is going to get a word. It's an announcement. It's a proclamation of saying, this is who is the center of my life. This is how I live my life. And when you interact with me, you're being interacting with the word of the Lord, period.
That's right.
And without being, and it's just a practical thing. People know when they see you. Sometimes they don't even know you other than the fact that you're a Christian. And sometimes they get convicted by your very presence. I truly believe that is because, not just you're a Christian, but because you believe the word and you stand in it. That in itself is a practical utilization of how the word, how the Lord uses us and puts us and how we take dominion. We take dominion by deciding to live the word practically every day. That's taking dominion. But I think because if we know we're taking dominion, we need to know what that means. And it's not always a good thing because sometimes there's backlash from that. But it's nevertheless, we don't change who we are. We take dominion by living the word practically. It's going to change atmospheres.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Hallelujah.
If I can share, I can, and I'll tell you, it's one of those things where when you reflect on all the things that God has delivered you from, I know that over the years there were times when things got really, really challenging, and Vanessa and I would just get on our face together in our house, and it was just she and I, and we went before the Lord because there was nobody else that was going to fix the problem that we were experiencing at that time. And from time to time, you know, things will get that challenging where God will say, I need another level of intimacy with you. And whatever God asks you to do, just do. I wanted to share an experience that I think will bless somebody. We all have grown up in different types of churches, different types of Christian churches. And some of them believe certain things and others believe other things. And I grew up in this church period where they were teaching that to be saved, you just needed to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was the Lord of your life and believe in your heart that God raised the Son Jesus Christ from the dead and believe to speak in tongues. And you were saved. And that was, I didn't have a problem with that. But they went a little further to try to teach against water baptism, right? Now, there are some churches that will teach, oh, you just have to be water baptized, but you don't have to speak in tongues.
And see, mm-hmm. and all of the churches are driving me nuts right now. And I'll tell you, as a teacher, when it comes down to that anger that you were talking about, that righteous mm-hmm. indignation, right? When I hear people preaching against repenting, against water baptism yeah. in the name of Jesus Christ, against confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, against believing in your heart that God raised the Son Jesus Christ from the dead, against calling on the name of Jesus Christ, and against believing to speak in tongues, and against believing to prophesy. When I hear you speaking openly against three portions of Scripture, you know, Acts 2:38, Acts 19:1-7, and Romans 10:8-13, three portions of Scripture that we can't get all Christian churches to embrace just those three, right? And because you talk about, I'm just talking about salvation. I'm not talking about any other topic. I'm talking about the good news, right? And see, in Ephesians, it says that we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, right? The good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the good news of peace to them that lets them know salvation's available. But for some reason, we can't get all Christian churches on the same page regarding those three passages of Scripture. So because of that, when I hear, I become vet. But the reason is because when I was growing up, I belonged to a church that said you didn't have to get water baptized. And then the more I was studying, I was about 30 years old, and I'm studying and I'm reading, and I can't see any way around it, because it talks about water baptism with the household of Cornelius. It talks about water baptism right there in Acts 2. It talks about water baptism a lot. And I said, you know what? There's no way around this. I have to submit to the word myself. And the problem with that is that the people that taught us, the people that we are related to, and a lot of our friends and family and others who we respect, who also respect us, when we submit to the word of God and we do what the word tells us to do, we're going to upset a lot of those people. And I look back on it, because this is a long time ago, 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago. And these people were upset with me. Most of those people have been water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ since then. But when I decided to do that, the pastor who baptized me, he said, you know what, my brother's saved because he speaks in tongues, but we're going to do this because God put it on his heart to obey God even more, you know? And that's the thing. You can't obey God enough. Now, I don't live a life of regret, but this is one of my regrets. In 2005, I had a chance to go to Israel. And I was in Israel, and I had a chance to get baptized in the Jordan, right, where Jesus Christ was baptized, in the Jordan River. And I just overthought it, because I said, well, no one needs to be baptized twice. I've already been baptized. What does this mean if I got baptized again, right? It was me overthinking, just doing what I do. And when I look back on it, if I ever go to Israel again, I'm going to do that. Now, I'm going to have to, because Vanessa says she wants to go, so we're going to go if the Lord doesn't return first, right? But I you know, that was a regret of mine, because I feel like, oh, my God, even on a symbolic basis, to be baptized in the same river where Jesus Christ was baptized, I missed that opportunity because I overthought it, you know? And so it was one of those things. But what I'm really wanting to share with you is, when you see something in the Word that God tells you to do, and it's clearly written to you. Now, I'm going to point this out as a practical matter of study, is when you're in the New Testament, it'll tell you exactly who those scriptures are speaking to, right? So I don't want you reading in Deuteronomy where it says go out and stone somebody because they were serving idols.
Lord,
I don't want you going out and killing somebody and saying, you know, Bishop Carver said go kill somebody, because that's not accurate. because they would. They're crazy people in the world, right? And so the thing is, and that's why it says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, you know? And
mm-hmm.
so it's like we have to show people, look, God says, be therefore perfect as I am perfect. And he placed the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us to do the things that he's given us to do. That means we can love our enemies. That means we can
mm-hmm.
bless people with our mouth that are cursing us with their mouth. That means we can do good to those who are persecuting us, and we can pray for those who are spitefully using us. It means we can pray secretly, and we can fast secretly, and we can do
yeah.
our good deeds secretly, and we can forgive openly. And God will
yeah.
reward us openly when we do God's things God's way. The problem is we want to do God's things our way. So God says, look, seek
mm-hmm.
first my kingdom and my righteousness, and then all that other stuff the world's chasing after, I'll just give you. But we're like,
yeah.
well, God, after I get done chasing this stuff, I'll come back and give you some. And God's
well,
like,
Lord,
no, that's backwards. That's backwards. He's saying, look, you don't have to chase it at all. I'll just give it to you. I want you to chase me and my
mm-hmm.
righteousness. Chase my kingdom and my righteousness. And if you're doing God's work, if you're reporting for duty when you pray, then God says he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you so that other people can see what they need to be doing too, right? And
yeah.
so when we understand this isn't about us, it's about us
That's
showing
right.
other people what's available to them, because we are letting God use us by saying yes to God. And you know, when I was saying about that desire to please people and saying yes to people, we need to learn to say yes to God that automatically, right?
That
the same
is,
way you would say
yeah.
yes to your wife or your kids or your mom or your dad or your pastor, say yes to God when God says, I need you to do this. And you don't,
yeah.
you know, that is a practical way to apply the word of God in your life to be blessed,
yeah.
because God's going to ask you to do some hard things, but on the other side of you fulfilling your task is a blessing. God's rewarding you. As after Jesus Christ was tempted after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, right? After he was tempted 3 times by the devil, then the angels came and ministered to him and gave him food and nourishment and all that. But it comes after you fulfill your assignment, after you do what he's given you to do. So that's a practical example of, you know, how we can apply the word in our life and then expect God to come through, because God always comes through. Anybody else?
Well, I just want to say yes and amen to what you just said, because I can remember, for me, I've always taught people. People say, oh, just forgive yourself. I said, you can't. And, you know, that didn't go over well with a lot of people, because I was saying, and they said, well, how can you say that? I said, easy. When were you hung? Where did you bleed? And when did you die? Well, we haven't exactly. Jesus is the only one by which name we can be saved. Jesus is the only forgiver of sin. Because, see, if we can forgive ourselves, why would he have to come down here in the first place? So when I started teaching that, a lot of people did not want to hear it. You know, I just said, well, turn your hands over. You see any scars in your hand? Any scars in your side? You know, I said that to say this. Trust what God is saying to you. He might actually give you something that's not going to be new, but it may not have ever been said the way you say it. Or it might not, you know, or it might not have ever been done the way God tells you to do. But what you have to do is trust God, the God in you. If God tells you something, don't look to the next man. to tell you if it's right or wrong. Trust the God in you. Because, see, if you're not clear about something, if you seek wisdom, go to God. If you need a more understanding, go to God. Because, see, no man can tell you what God has purposed for your life. So I really get it. You know, I really get what you're saying, Bishop, because a lot of people, they want to give the perception that they know the truth, but then they don't want to do the deep study, the bearing it out, so that they can be convicted by it.
That's a big part of practically living the word, is that discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the sacred disciplines that we use every day when we study and pray and do
it.
And the things that we learn from what happens when we do the word on a regular basis, the resistance that we get, we even learn that. We even learn through the resistance. Like, just got done sharing and my husband shared, resistance is going to come. And I know that for a long time, that wasn't being taught in church about when the word is, when you do the word, that resistance comes. You thinking it's going to be easy breezy, and it's not. But even in the word, it says that resistance will come. So the more that I begin to study the word for myself, I said, well, this is in here. So what's the deal? But, you know, so what if my expectation level changed and I become more strengthened and more focused when resistance did come, because that's part of it. That's part of the word being proved. And that's just an example of, you know, how you, I used to grow up hearing people say that it was hard to be saved. It was hard to do the word.
No, it's not.
But I believe now that a big issue with that is that you don't know enough of the word, and so you think it's hard. The Holy Spirit is there to help you, even when it's challenging, even when it's new, even when it is, quote-unquote, difficult. He's there to help you, so you're really not doing things on your own. And so I look at it totally different. I said, okay, if I make up in my mind to do something hard, all of us got an example in our lives where we just decided we was going to do something, even if it was hard. We did it. We made up in our mind, and it wasn't an announcement. It was an internal thing. It was an internal thing. We chose to do it, no matter how hard it was, whether it was to start a new job, start a ministry, whatever it could be. It could be anything, whatever it is that you said, I don't want to do this. This is difficult, but you decided to do it. You made up in your mind you was going to do it. And I feel like when you go to that word, you have to almost, I call it GPS your faith. Where is it? GPS your motive. Where is it? And you'd be surprised what will open up to you.
Yep. And keep it real, Paul. That's keep it real.
And you know what, people, I've been people get sick and tired of me saying the same thing over and over and over. But it's important to simplify this so that when Vanessa talks about GPS in your faith, right, GPS in your motives, it is real simple. Ask yourself first, and there are four questions to ask yourself. It's an on or off switch. It's going one direction or the other direction. Ask yourself if you're pleasing God, seeking to please God, or seeking to please people. If you're seeking to please people, that's off. If you're seeking to please God, that's on. The next one is ask yourself if you're serving God or if you're serving money.
People.
If you're serving money, that's off. If you're serving God, that's on. Ask yourself, are you leaning to your own understanding and trusting yourself, or are you trusting God? If you're trusting God, that's on. If you're trusting yourself and leaning to your own understanding, that's off. And then the last thing is, are you obeying God and operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, or are you obeying yourself and operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities? And it's not that there's a problem with your strengths, talents, and abilities. It's that they're limited, whereas the Holy Spirit is unlimited power. And so we're obeying God by demonstrating that power in the earth, living supernaturally, so that God can get glory. That is on. Off is operating out of their own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. So those four things, pleasing God, serving God, trusting God, obeying God. And people are like, oh, you keep saying that, but I don't read that in the scripture. I was like, you know what? There are many scriptures that break those things down very specifically, and it's so that you can be free. It's so you can be blessed. And people say they want to know what God is asking them to do. Don't you know most of what God is asking us to do is in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6? If you read Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, he gives you a lot of stuff to do. And if you can handle half of that, you're ready to get started.
Well, Lord Jesus. Go ahead, Bishop.
So when I look at, I'm going to read this one verse, though. 1 John 3:8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus Christ was manifest. Jesus Christ, Son of God, was sent so that the works of the devil could be destroyed by him. And so now that it's Christ in us, our job is to destroy the works of the devil. And we do that with the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And look at what it says here in Mark 16, 17, 18. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, those that believe have to be ready to operate in the supernatural, have to be ready to operate the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. And I've heard great ministers talk, dumb down the Holy Spirit by telling people it doesn't take all of that, and telling people that you don't have to speak with other tongues. You don't have to believe to heal anybody. You don't, and this is just the devil talking you out of the power that you have in you, right? It's like having a masterclass piano, a grand piano in your living room, taking up a whole bunch of space, but you've never taken time to learn how to play it. That piano is just as capable of producing world-winning sound as it always was, but unless you are instructed, unless you practice, unless you take time to see how it works, you'll never, that piano will never bring forth great music, right? Just like it is with the Holy Spirit within you. It's not that it's not there. It's that you're not studying God's word. You're not fasting. You're not praying. You're not fellowshipping with like-minded believers. And so you don't believe that the Holy Spirit can do the things that the Bible says the Holy Spirit can do, because you're not preparing yourself to do those things, right? And that's why God says measure of faith that you're going to use. God knows what you're going to believe to do before you believe to do it. And so God's not going to waste that faith on someone who's not going to believe to do it. But those who are going to believe to heal the sick and raise the dead and speak in tongues and to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. And those who aren't afraid of somebody trying to poison you and then that poison not having an effect. Don't you know that used to be a very common way that they used to deal with people back in the day, is they would poison them. And if they don't like what you're saying, people will try that. And then when they find that they can't poison you because God doesn't let that work, right? That's all voodoo is. Voodoo is people poisoning you. And they poison you with a bunch of different things. And my thing is, when you encounter people who are trying to do that to you, when they find out they can't do that to you, that it's not going to affect you because God's not going to let it, because that's what this verse says. It says, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you, right? That's right there in Mark 16. Now, if you believe it, then you can walk out and you're not afraid of somebody doing that to you. And a lot of times Christians, we don't say things because we know there are people who are really going to come against you. And they're not just going to come against you with their mouth. They're going to say and do some things that are going to threaten your existence when the power of God needs to be real in your life so that you're not worried about them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And they might try whatever they try, but then they're going to be openly shamed, and they're going to find out that they don't have the power they thought they had. And so we, in order to make this real, just have to get – we have to commit ourselves to do what we know. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to say it. It's another thing to believe it. But if what's in the word is coming out of your mouth, that's a good start, because it means you know. Now, when you begin to practice and you find out that it's true, that God backs up his word, that God doesn't let his word fall to the ground, and when you start saying what he's saying, he's not going to let your word fall to the ground, you'll get more excited about what you do for God, because you'll find out this is real.
Amen.
So I'd like to see if anyone would have some final sayings about walking out the word in everyday life.
Yes, Mother Maxine, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Bishop Cook. Hi, everyone. The gentleman that spoke about things not harming you, that reminds me of Apostle Paul. The viper bit his hand, and he shook that viper off, and that viper didn't poison him and didn't hurt him, and the people that were around him, they were amazed. They were amazed. Apostle Paul was anointed by Father God and King Jesus. So I thought about that, and I wanted to share something else with everybody. I was looking at what Christian show Denise Matthews was. She wound up to be evangelist. Her show name was Vanity. She come out with a book, Blame It on Vanity. I tell you, that lady had been through some things. She said her blood pressure was 250 over whatever it was, 250 over 190, and her kidneys was all ruined. She had one eye to see out of, one ear to hear out of, and she admitted when the Lord spoke to her, she wasn't obedient right away. But the Lord used her. The Lord used Denise Matthews changed her from Vanity to Evangelist Denise Matthews. I tell you, I looked at that lady. That lady was all fired. I mean, she was fired up. And she said, all you have to do is just speak to me, and I'll speak to you, and I'll tell you about Jesus. And she tells everybody about Jesus. And she said the same thing. That's what was said, tonight. She said, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And she's talking about how Jesus turned her life around. And it's talking about the doctor said she was going to die. Said she was going to die. She wasn't going to live. And she let everybody know she's a walking testimony. And she's got work to do. And the Lord had used her before she left this earth. So she was an evangelist. She preached God's word, and she been off of drugs for over 18 years, clean, praise and God. Everybody started applauding for her. The Lord really cleaned her up. She said she was a mess. She did all kind of things, and when she was in the music industry, she said she was a miserable person, miserable, and she was ashamed of what she had become because she was on drugs, smoking crack, and all that. But to make a long story short, the Lord cleaned her up and turned her around. And I tell you, that lady was just fired up. She's fired up for Jesus. She just fired up. And I when I looked at that, something told me that she's saved. She's saved. She's gone. But I believe to my soul she's with the Lord. It's never too late to come to the Lord. It's never too
come
late.
Come on.
Because the Lord has his arms open wide for us. We stray away from the Lord. We turn away from the Lord. But the Lord always welcomes us back. So the Lord used Evangelist Denise Matthews. The Lord used her for his will and for his way, and she evangelized. She went all over the world and preached the gospel, and the Lord saved her. He saved her. She had one eye to see out of, one ear to hear out of, blood pressure 250 over 190, And the doctor said she was going to die. And she told him people, she said, I'm not going to die because Jesus going to save me. And Jesus did. So I know.
Hallelujah.
I know King Jesus and Father God, they will do the impossible. So I looked at
yes,
that.
He will.
I looked at that. I said, Lord, have mercy. What? It's no secret what the Lord can't do. It's no secret what God can't do, because he can do it all. He can do the impossible. He can do it. And then people in the
yes.
church, when you speak what's right, the young man was talking about people getting mad with him. Yeah, because they don't want to hear the truth. And you have a lot
Come
of
on.
Wolves in sheep clothing sitting up in the front pews. You have a lot of devils sitting in the pews. And see, King Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his church. Oh, yeah, he's coming back. It's for his church, and his church is his saint. Without a spot, blemish, stain, cat wrinkle, as my mom used to say, Lord is coming back for his saints. And the Lord going to start with the churches from the pulpit to the door, because a lot of them is not right. A lot of them not right. But they got to see God
Amen.
For themselves, and they're going to be judged. They're going to be judged. So this was a wonderful,
Amen.
Wonderful lesson and a wonderful Bible study. I just wanted to share that with everyone. And for everyone that spoke, I appreciate all your words, all your words, all your words of wisdom. It was very, very, very enlightening and very educational, and it gave me more food for thought. So thank you. Thank you.
Amen. All right.
You're welcome, woman of God. You're welcome. I'm going to close with prayer, everyone, and
Amen.
I just thank you for everybody feeling free to share it. Just my heart good, because we all have something powerful to share, something that we can be thinking about all week, and just like the minister said, food for thought, a good thought,
yeah.
right, instead of something, all the negative stuff going around. But I just want to close
yeah.
with prayer. But, Lord, I just thank you, first of all, for your
thank
presence
you.
In this show, on this show tonight, how
yes,
your presence is precious and it means everything.
Yes.
We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you how you empower us to do the word. We thank
yes.
you, Lord, today for every heart that listened, every soul, Father God, that will be saved because of this conversation, because there's things
yes.
that we can take from this conversation and share with those who are lost, and even in our prayers, begin to continue to pray for them. I thank you, Lord,
yes.
today for everyone, Lord, who just knows how to do the word and walk it out. Give us courage. Give us strength, Lord.
Yes.
Help us to stay
Hallelujah.
On the right path, Lord. Purify our motives and purify our hearts. Break up fallow ground
yes.
so that there can be more
yes.
fruit, and so that we can be effectual in doing your work. Thank you, Lord, today
yes,
for a level
Lord.
Of peace and comfort that we get when we sit with the word. We feel close to you.
Yes.
We thank you for the love that you show us. How you endear yourself unto us, and how we're favored. And that is that's a big weight. That carries a lot of weight. Let us be mindful of what we carry every day, because we decide to do your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and God's great love for us, be ye transformed.
Hallelujah.
Love you guys. Good night.
Love you. Good night.
Love you too. Pray for the mother given. It's your cook.
Will
please.
Do. Still do
Will
it.
Do.
Okay. Love you all. Love you.
Love you.
Good night.
Good night.